Goldberg when you throw chairs around? You want to know what happens? You want to know?
Yeah! Spear! Jackhammer! That's what happens!
You know what? Wait. No. This is my show.
Take your shot, champ!
Oh, you want me to take a shot?
Take it, champ.
Guess what?
Let's go.
Kevin Owens. I'm the WWE Universal Champion, and I don't care who you are.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm scared of...
my name is Paul Heyman, and my client, Brock Lesnar, is not here this evening. Here is exactly what will happen in the Royal Rumble match. Eat, sleep, elimination, repeat. Elimination, repeat. Elimination, repeat. I could go on.
But you won't. I'm going to take care of your client at the Rumble. And whether it's you or Roman Reigns, we got a date at WrestleMania.
Hello and welcome to the European Uppercut Podcast, a European perspective on the world of professional wrestling. And it's our first show of 2017. And yes, we have the sad news to report that the living legend has once again died. No, we're only kidding. He survived 2016, as did two other people that I have here on the panel with me. Here tonight is Mr. Kiwi Toots.
Good evening. Happy New Year to you and everybody listening to this. I hope you're all well. How are you, Guy?
Yes, very well. Thank you, Kiwi. Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yes. It was really good. It went far too quickly, but it's nice to get back into routine because I ridiculously put on far too much weight on during Christmas. So I've gone back to my usual slim world regime and hoping I can stick to it because I need to be slim for my wedding in the summer.
Oh, that's well, I think everyone puts on weight over Christmas, so you're definitely not alone there, Kiwi.
That is true, actually. I mean, and to be honest with you, one of my friends who lives not too far away from me, she put on 10, and she's got open about this to me on Facebook. She put on 10 pounds during Christmas. It's like it's almost a stone, Christ almighty. So, yeah, so I don't feel as bad as I think others do, but I'm not trying to rub it in, you know.
I think that's always the best way to look at things, isn't it? If you feel like you've put on weight, just go and find another fatter friend.
That's it. Or watch Little Britain and it just makes you feel even better, you know, the Marjorie Dawes segment.
And if you travel a little bit further up the M1, I believe it's the M1 from Kiwi.
No,
it's not. You can see A3. I don't drive.
The A3.
It's the M1 from London to Huddersfield. That's what I get mixed up with. So you stop off at Croydon and you find Mr. Adam Pearson. How are you doing, Adam?
All good, thank you, Kai. Good to have you both back in my life in 2017. And I thought we'd start the year 2017 on a real positive note with a positive affirmation. We are 2 weeks away from Donald Trump being sworn into office.
And he can't even recruit Rebecca Ferguson to sing his inauguration.
Hey, it's going to be a long, it's going to be a strange year. You think 2016's been strange? Let's see how 2017 goes. But we love to start off our shows by looking into the emails. Just one email this week, so let's get straight into it. And it's from someone who hasn't been in touch for a little while. And it says, hello, this is at Lady Undertaker again. Have been listening to the latest episodes after a short absence, and I heard, as a pleasant surprise, the wonderful, glorious tones of Adam Pearson's voice. I really enjoy listening to you all, but him especially. Have a wonderful and blessed New Year. Many blessings, Lady Undertaker.
We have such smart listeners, don't we? We are the highbrow wrestling podcast, not just on the Trending Topics Network, but just in general.
Well, if anyone ever needs to pick up any chicks, Adam's the one to go to, apparently. So, so let's thank you very much, Lady Undertaker, for getting in touch. Thank you very much for your wonderful comments about the show, and I'm sure Adam agrees with that statement too.
Wholeheartedly.
Let's go on and let's move on with the show. We don't need any more sound bites. Let's just go at it raw this week. Raw for a wrestling show. Yeah, it's not funny. Right, so this week, as you can probably
bad guy, bad. We're only 8 minutes in. My God, or less than that.
Innuendo will be following shortly. No, as you can probably tell, we haven't really got much planned for this episode. So what we're going to do is a year in review. We're going to look back at 2016, and we've got lots of categories, and we're going to do our sort of end of year awards show. We did a proper one last year where you can vote on, but remember, if you want to comment on anything that we talk about over the next hour or so, you can do by our Twitter at the EU pod, or you can email us eurouppercut@gmail.com. but shall we get into the first category, gents?
Yes, let's do it.
I agree.
Superstar of the Year. This, it goes to the male wrestler who you feel is the superstar of the year. Adam, let's start with you with your recommendation.
This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, because we don't really talk about New Japan very much on the podcast, because it's just too much to fit in on a Wednesday evening. But Kenny Omega has been killing it in Japan. He is like the best non-Japanese wrestler in New Japan at the moment. He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. He took over the Bullet Club when AJ mysteriously disappeared. So he's up there. But I'm going to pull it back to what we all know, what we all talk about. I'm going to give it to Chris Jericho.
I've got to admit, you know, it's great to hear that straight away, because we are a wrestling podcast. We're not a WWE podcast, even though we focus on them a lot. And I know I am mainly a WWE fan, but it's great to see New Japan stars getting mentions, especially straight at the top of the show for Superstar of the Year. But yeah, Chris Jericho. What's your thoughts on Chris Jericho, Kiwi?
Oh, he's been entertaining as hell from like the very start of the year, literally, and that feud with AJ Styles, and then that strange fairly dynamic and feud they had with Dean Ambrose, Extreme Rules, that type of stuff, and then everything with his pairing up with Kevin Owens in recent months has been really quite compelling television. And even though he's probably had one of his worst win-loss records for quite some time, I don't think he's been devalued at all, because what he's been doing is obviously getting the younger folk through. I mean, I'm watching Monday Night Raw this week in particular, I did think, well, he's had title shot after title shot with the United States Championship against Roman Reigns, and did I think that Chris Jericho was actually going to finally become the United States champion and become a Grand Slam champion? That didn't happen. So, you know, I felt a little bit disappointed where Chris Jericho's done so much good stuff over the week, over the year, that he could be sort of finally rewarded with some type of title match, and Reigns doesn't necessarily need it at the moment. But in all due respect, I mean, Chris Jericho has been absolutely brilliant, and it doesn't really matter about his win-loss record at all. So his character's strong.
I think that Chris Jericho has had one of the strongest, if not the strongest year of his career. And I think that any other year, he could have possibly grabbed the Superstar of the Year award in my account. But I've got to go with AJ Styles. What's your thoughts on that one, Adam?
I think that is a very, very good shout. He came in, the crowd went nuts. Let's not forget, they didn't actually televise his debut. It was just a close-up of Roman Reigns going, But they put it on the YouTube channel afterwards, which kind of sort of made up for it, not at all.
And they have edited it into the network now.
I they have a habit of doing revisionist history.
Yeah.
No, I can see where you're coming from. I think he's the best wrestler on the planet at the moment, easily. He could have a good match with a broomstick. And I have no idea where these mic skills have come from.
Yes. He's just suddenly... yeah, I've got to admit, he is just... he's been getting better and better and better as the months go along. He's grown so much from the... he came in as that sort of very white-collar baby face when he came in. He was very much like that. And then he switched it up, the heel mode going up against John Cena. And he's just ran with it and ran with it and ran with it. And I cannot wait to see what he does going into WrestleMania this year. Kiwi, would you agree that would you go with either Chris Jericho or AJ Styles, or would you pick somebody else for your Superstar of the Year?
Well, I would pick AJ Styles as my Superstar of the Year, in the fact that he has just turned it up from, you know, being a surprise Royal Rumble entrant, which was on the dirt sheets for a while, the fact that he could be turning up, and he obviously eventually did, got the pop of the night, and honestly, he's lit the WWE up with his fantastic skills, including his mic skills, which Adam quite rightly mentioned. He's not very known for his mic skills, particularly in TNA. Some of the stuff that he was doing was quite cringeworthy, and it wasn't flowing well. It didn't seem right for his character, but he's really pulled it out, and he's done some tremendous work. So to come from joining the company at the Royal Rumble, and then midway through the year in September, becoming the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I mean, that was an incredible moment when he finally beat Dean Ambrose and got that after his epic win at SummerSlam against John Cena. So I loved it. I mean, AJ Styles is definitely up there for me. But I would say Jericho and Kevin Owens in particular would be right behind, close behind as well.
Well, there, as I was just about to say, are there any honourable mentions that you would like to go with? I think Kevin Owens definitely deserves an honourable mention. Any honourable mentions from you, Adam?
I'm a massive Kevin Owens fan. I think we all know this. Ah, again, Kenny Omega, Matt Hardy.
Yes, yeah. I've got to admit, even as someone who hasn't been following TNA, the only TNA that I've watched this year, and I've watched maybe three matches, and they've all happened to be Matt Hardy matches or Matt Hardy segments or anything to do with him and this entire character that he's been building up. Have you caught much of it this year, Kiwi?
In all honesty, no, I haven't. And not for months and months and months. It's just my own personal view, and I know it's not particularly popular, which I should be branching out to everything else, but anything Matt Hardy or Hardy's in 2016 has really sort of turned me off, though I know that and understand and appreciate the fact that the great work that they've been doing in TNA to basically be the only interesting thing really throughout the whole year over there. So, but yeah, I'm glad you guys are giving it an honourable mention, because from the things I did see, which wasn't a lot, but then hearing about it on a weekly basis from us, it's been well worth it, and definitely deserves an honourable mention.
I completely see where you're coming from there, Kiwi, and it's great. That's the great thing about this show and what this episode is going to be like. We're not all going to agree on every single point, and remember that if you don't agree with anything that we say at the EU Pod, or eurouppercut@gmail.com. So let's move on to the next category, and that is Tag Team of the Year. Adam, who are you going with for Tag Team of the Year 2016?
Again, quite a lot of options. Obvious call would be the Young Bucks, because they're one of the very few tag teams that are A, constantly over, and have made it outside of the WWE machine. We had American Alpha rock up. We had Beauty and the Man Beast rock up. I am probably though going to look more towards the NXT direction. We have a lot of options for this category. And I am probably going to, and it's between two, and if we all, if anyone here says anything apart from DIY or The Revival, I'll be stunned. I'm going to say The Revival are one of the best tag teams in wrestling at the moment.
I've got to completely agree with you there, Adam. They were sort of the team that I were going to go for. And actually, I would put them as the award winner for tag team that has turned me around in a year. Because I remember this time, at the beginning of this time last year, I was thinking, wow, this Revival team, I'm not sure that they will ever make it on the main roster. And they have completely spun me in the other direction, and I've completely got what they are going for. Kiwi, where would you go for tag team of the year?
Well, I cannot disagree with you on this, because the Revival have just been, honestly, the greatest tag team of this year. I mean, every single takeover and any match they've ever had on NXT programming, it's just been pure brilliance and pure heel tag team wrestling and compelling tag team wrestling. And they've just put 110% into every single match they have, even if it was at NXT Dallas, when it was at Toronto. The disc can go on and on and on, and they're in Brooklyn as well. It's just, they've just done so much. No, they wouldn't. And my God, do they put up a fight. You know, and it was realistic that these, you know, they're really short guys, though, generally. but they knew how to take people down. They knew what to do to get that win. You know, they knew how to pure heel wrestling and submission wrestling by focusing on a part and playing it to its strengths. You know, taking out Johnny Gargano's knee, or Chad Gable's knee, and then they're making him suffer for the next 40 minutes while the match continues. You know, it was just brilliant stuff, and it was perfect. So if I did ramble anymore, I better not, but definitely the Revival are my favorite of the year for sure.
I would like to give an honorable mention to Jericho, Chris Jericho, team Kevin and Chris, team Chris and Kevin. Although they haven't had too many tag team matches, as in like working as a solid tag team, their run has been going on since the summer now. And I've really been enjoying everything with their skits, with their promos. Adam, what's your opinion on Jericho? And do you have any other honorable mentions?
Been a big fan of Jericho. I think as a tag team, in terms of wrestling, I think two very good wrestlers don't necessarily make a very, very good tag team. But as a double act, they've been amazing. As a sort of like slightly belligerent, incredibly Canadian Laurel and Hardy, it's been amazing to watch. Other honourable mentions, obviously DIY, Authors of Pain, weirdly. I think they won me over a little bit, because when I first saw them... When I first saw them, I was like, this is awful. They've dressed two fat guys in black, and I've hoped it's going to work. They've won me over a tad, and I think next year is going to be quite good for them. And is there anyone in TNA tag team-wise that I like? No, move on.
Well, let's move on then to the next category, and that is finisher of the year. This goes to the finishing move that has most impressed and been your favourite on any wrestling roster for this year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kick it off, and this is a really tough one for me. It's split between two, but I'm going to go with the Kinshasa. Shinsuke Nakamura, and not just because I can say both of those words now, which I couldn't at the beginning of this year. What's your thoughts on that one, Kiwi?
Oh, I completely agree. That is my winner of the year, too. And I've got to have a big shout out to Mr. Corey Graves for making it as epic as the move is. I mean, it's a simple maneuver which has instant pain, you know, instant reaction, and can it be easily done to anybody, you know, large, fat, small, skinny, whatever. They can do that, and they can make it look damnedest. I mean, it's probably one of the most dangerous moves too, as we all know what's happened to Samoa Joe over the last year, half a year really, since Brooklyn, you know, that he's been suffering with the various broken noses, I think, and, you know, various issues. But I just love it, absolutely love it. And every match that he's been in, obviously Shinsuke's been in, has been fantastic too. He would have been given an honourable mention in Superstar of the Year, I think, too. So, yeah, with his finisher, fantastic. Obviously, honourable mentions I would have to say too. It would be AJ Styles' Styles Clash, certainly. And Jericho's Codebreaker. Need I say no more?
Adam, where are you going with this finisher of the year?
I agree that it's up there. It's not my pick, but the Shinsuke Nakamura's Kinshasa is... We have a tendency to want to overcomplicate finishes in wrestling. It wants to look kind of technical and difficult to pull off, when ultimately, just kicking a guy in the face as hard as you can probably is the way to go. It's what I do. I'm going to give it, and I'm surprised this wasn't in Kiwi's honourable mentions, the coup de grace.
Oh, yeah. Too true. My brain. I've been up since 3 a.m. My apologies.
Same galore. Going to just stamp on a guy. Just let gravity be your ally.
Yeah, that was one of those moves where someone turned around. Because I remember when he first started doing it, and I turned around and I went, I'm not really sure whether I like that. I don't think that he's a big... I was there going, but he's not a big enough guy for that to matter. And then I went to myself, wait a second. Like, I imagine if I jumped on myself... Like, if someone of my weight jumped on me with their feet first, then that would fucking hurt. So, and you know, he does probably weigh a little bit more than I do, you know, taking into account muscle mass.
The height as well.
Exactly.
Just the science of it says it should hurt.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that simplistic finishes are some of my favourites. Like, I do love the Styles Clash. That's why I'm going with the Kinshasa. The same goes for the Codebreaker, though, as you mentioned, Kiwi. It's just such a simple move where you just jump up and knees to the face.
Yeah, and it's good. Yeah, sorry, Kai, go on.
No, carry on.
I was going to say, I feel like the Styles Clash is a little bit convoluted. You've got to do all sorts of stuff before, you know, you've got to hook the arms around and everything to make it work. And you've got to heavily rely on the person you're giving it to make sure that they keep their head up rather than tuck their head in.
I remember when I used to be in primary school and I'd be wrestling in the school playgrounds and stuff. The move that I would always use would be the super kick, because it is that was always my favorite move, the switching music and the super kick, because it could just be from anywhere, and that's why I always loved it, and that's what I make up as a great finisher. But as we say, if any of you disagree, do get in touch. Let us know your finisher of the year.
This is Scotland's cheekiest wrestler here, Jason Reid, and you're listening to the European Uppercut Podcast.
But let's move on now to the next category. And the next one that we have here is Announcer of the Year. Who is classed as your Announcer of the Year? Adam, let's go to you first.
We can take this down one of two ways. We can be like, who is the best announcer? And that is a one-horse race. Or it can be, what announcer makes me the most happy? and that's what I'm going to go with. So, therefore, Adam Pearson's announcer of the year, it's John O'Clock, motherfuckers, going to go with John Bradshaw Layfield.
Really?
He's amazing. He just says all the wrong things.
Right, okay.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Because I used to love JBL. I am not as big a hater of JBL as some people are. And I know that some people don't have getting a little bit fed up of him. And you do read about it online where people say they're getting fed up of him. You know, that is totally fine. I do like those little quips where he'll just turn around and go, well, yeah, that guy owes me money from back in the 90s. Then, you know, his granddad owes me money. And you go, look at that. I just find that sort of stuff funny. So I would give an honourable mention there. But for me, it's split between two people.
If I guess who they are, do I win a prize?
You win a point, which doesn't make any difference.
Excellent. I'm going to say it's between Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Adam Pearson getting laid.
I would go.
Is that not the prize? Right.
Yeah.
I was lying to you.
What, by Kai? Or...
I think Kiwi's off himself there.
You two have both shared a bed before, haven't you?
We have. And I've bought him breakfast.
He didn't actually buy me breakfast.
What a cheap date. That sounds fun.
I am going to go with... it's really, really tough because I really want to go with Corey Graves, but I'm going to go with Mauro Ranallo. Kiwi, where are you going?
It's the same. Mauro Ranallo. It can't be anybody else, really. Though Corey
David
is...
David Otunga.
I don't mind David Otunga. I could have David Otunga over JBL any day.
Personally. Isn't David Otunga the guy that coined no chin music?
I think so. Yeah.
Right, here's the question that I've got. Who do you prefer? Byron Saxton or David Otunga?
Otunga.
Byron.
No. He's too plastic.
I think he's getting better. And he knows the role that he's been put in. He's the very much the the Todd Grisham role.
He's aware he's the token black guy.
Okay, let's move on. So carry on, Kiwi.
I was just to say they've only got really David Otunga just so they could keep on mentioning Jessica Hudson every week.
Jennifer Hudson.
What did I say? Jessica.
You said Jessica. She came seventh in Series 4 of American Idol. Damn it! You will have some respect.
And I watched that series too. I used to watch them all the time on ITV2 back in the day. Loved it. Adam Lambert was my favourite.
Second place, Series 8.
Yeah,
I love Adam Lambert. Him and Queen performing at the New Year's Day.
Oh, last year.
It was 2014.
Was it 2014 going into 15?
It was 2015. It was 2014 going into 15. Yeah, my first year at uni.
Oh, and then it was Gary Barlow, wasn't it? And then we had horrible Robbie Williams.
I quite enjoyed it. Anyone who does Auld Lang Syne with the audience and then goes onto stage and uses hand sanitizer is amazing in my book.
That was so rude.
But he did it to the cameras and then all the press have gone after him. Anyway, let's move on because we've got a bigger thing to talk about, and that is Female of the Year. We're looking for the Female Superstar of the Year. The first time in a very long time that this hasn't been called Diva of the Year. So that's a positive. Adam, who are you going with for Female Superstar of the Year?
I am going to go with decisions, because there's a lot of people to pick from. Normally it's like a one-horse race, but now with the women's revolution, I am going to go simply because of the roar in Scotland and how much the show got derailed. Bailey.
Okay, yep, I can totally see that. What's your thoughts, Kiwi?
Since Bailey's come up to the main roster, it's been a little bit wishy-washy for me. I feel like Bayley's character is slightly slipping where she's... In NXT, I feel like her character was much more innocent. And it wasn't like, well, you did this, and I'm going to take the title off you. And that's basically what she's been doing recently, in some regard. And it's just, it hasn't worked for me very well. Though this past Monday night on Raw was a little bit more palatable and it made sense. So even though it made Nia Jax look like a right old douche. But then again, it might start that second Divas feud that we need. Well, female feud, shall I say. Oh my God, on the Raw roster, which we need to refill ours. So, I Bayley would be up there after everything which she's done in NXT. But since then, I'm not too enamored with what she's been doing.
I sit there and I go, I think that Bayley is sort of in a, she's been in a bit of a lull since she came to the main roster in the idea that I think they're really planning on pushing her going into WrestleMania. I think she will be walking out of WrestleMania the women's champion. Now, how that happens, until then, I'm not really sure, but I do not think you can give this award to anyone else this year except for Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you agree there, Kiwi?
Yes, Macy, I do. I do. Her mic work has really improved over the year, and also her matches have just been compelling to watch. From the early time of the year when she had Ric Flair by her side, helping her out with the dirtiest player in the game and all of that, and then the breakup, and then going out on her own, and then having a good dynamic, I think, with Dana Brooke, and it's worked really well for a much more heel response. And the cheating aspects and stuff. There have been a few slip-ups and, you know, not very good matches. Like, off the top of my head, Payback against Natalya after SummerSlam. And it was just an awkward... No, it was after WrestleMania when Charlotte won. That whole confusing ending. That didn't work at all. But other than that, you know, Charlotte's is in a very strong position. She's got that epic pay-per-view record that we all know now. And she has been probably the best. She's certainly up there, very close behind Sasha Banks for me. Not too far away either. So, yeah.
I want to give some honorable mentions out there to Asuka.
Yes, I was about to say Asuka.
Go on, Adam.
No, she's been good. She's like really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also got a bit of a crush on her.
Well, we'd have never guessed, Adam. But the other person I want to say as well is Alexa Bliss.
Oh no!
No,
I would split her in half.
You two think of your dicks all the time. I don't know where.
Oh, really, like. You talk about Finn Balor in the same way.
Oh, he has delicious thighs. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, can we move swiftly on, please? Thank you.
Anyone got anything else to add about the female, the female superstar division?
The woman. No.
Women's division, also known as the women's division. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word.
Oh, it's all right. Becky's been good. She's been fine. And she's doing all right over there in SmackDown land. She's been all right. But, I mean, I'd love to give an honourable mention to the TNA women's roster. But they have been a real... Yeah, members of the like four. And you never know what's happening with Gail Kim, either if she's coming or going. But, yeah... But this year, it's been good to have Mickie James around for the like, NXT Toronto. And I feel like she did a good show there with Asuka. So, and she served a good purpose. So, yeah.
And I'm sure that it's going to be very, very exciting to see where the women's division goes through 2017. Now, let's move on to one of the biggest categories that we can give out during today's show, and that is match of the year. Adam, putting you straight on the spot, what is your match of the year?
Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura.
It's really that simple. Kiwi, over to you.
Oh, it's very close. I can't make my mind up between that, Shinsuke and Sami at NXT TakeOver Dallas, or John Cena versus AJ Styles at SummerSlam. I mean, that match was epic.
Yeah, it's really good. And then we've also got the Revival DIY 2 out of 3 falls from Toronto.
And then even thinking closer to now, we had just back at No Mercy, we had Miz versus Ziggler.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad, actually.
Great match. One of
the best IC title matches in a while.
Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn at Battleground.
That was really good. Oh, wow.
This has been a really good year.
AJ and Jericho at WrestleMania, I thought was pretty good, actually.
Even the Survivor Series match this year, the elimination match, was very spot heavy, but fucking hell, there was some great moments in it. But another match that I've just thought of now was actually what I thought was the best match on the WrestleMania card, and that was Sasha Banks versus Charlotte versus Becky Lynch, triple threat women's title.
Definitely. It shone out like a beacon that night, because the main event was awful.
I'm sure we'll come to that later on in the awards, Kiwi.
But then Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander and Kota Ibushi from the CWC.
Oh, yes.
Gargano versus Ciampa.
That
was an amazing match.
There were so many in the cruiserweight division. We could probably name like all of them. And they were just that good, weren't they?
We must be missing some great matches from this year as well.
Deletion.
I think that could be voted in the category for match of the year and worst match of the year for some people's opinions. But I did enjoy that. Oh, wow. Right. Any more matches that you can think of off the top of your head?
It was the Four Villains versus Enzo and Cass. Where Enzo,
that was a good match, wasn't it? Yeah.
So the Royal Rumble match was good, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that was good. I mean, I quite like the fact that Triple H actually won and just sort of steamrolled through everybody. And I think the Smarks were quite happy in that too, with obviously the title being taken for a few months.
And Ambrose actually being in the final two for that really shocked a lot of people.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all. But in general, I just thought that was a really quite good match. And then earlier in that card, they had Dean Ambrose and Owens for a last man standing match for the IC title. And that was one of the best on that card in the Royal Rumble as well. So that was quite good.
Just on the topic of, because I just mentioned Dean Ambrose there. Just a bit off topic here. Hasn't he had a fall from grace this year? Like,
oh my God, yeah.
He was really, really popular at the start of this year, to the point where people were really wanting him to... I kind of feel sorry for him, because the fall seems to have happened since WrestleMania, when he had that not great match with Brock Lesnar. And you hear all the stuff where he talks about in the Steve Austin podcast, where he said Brock didn't want to do anything in the match. He didn't want to put any time into it. He didn't want to do any of the big stuff that could have made it a great match. So I kind of do feel sorry for him, but he really has fallen in popularity with a lot of fans. Adam, what do you have anything to add on Dean Ambrose?
I think there's only so much you can do to recover from being friends with a pot plant. To make the fans go, yeah, we'll forgive you now. that was awful. That whole, we'll get onto it. I think the next award will be my rant about that.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut podcast. I'll say it three times, the European Uppercut podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Well, the next award is for pay-per-view of the year. So this goes to your favourite pay-per-view of the year or network special. So, Adam, let's start with you. Pay-per-view of the year in your eyes?
Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Probably the one pay-per-view of the year that I haven't seen.
It's almost like a pure wrestling thing goes, because often we get caught up in storylines and kind of like nostalgia and fanboyism, and I knew nothing of New Japan. Wrestle Kingdom 10 is what got me interested in New Japan. So watching it as just a pure wrestling product, knowing nothing of the storylines or the people or the culture, and not knowing half of what the promos were, you can work out they're angry simply from the face they're pulling. And kind of the tone of voice, I guess. But I've got no idea what they're saying. I just make it up in my own head. It's hilarious. Wrestling, bang on it. Like, spot on. First pay-per-view of the year, best pay-per-view of the year by a considerable way. If we're talking WWE, SummerSlam did really well.
Kiwi, where do you stand? What's your pay-per-view of the year?
My pay-per-view of the year is SummerSlam. I think the shock and awe of Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton was just mind-blowing to me. How the elbows of Brock Lesnar were just being driven right into the skull of Randy Orton. And Randy Orton, my God, was bleeding so profusely. It was shocking, even in this day and age. Finn Balor becoming the inaugural Universal Champion for me was one of the highlights of the year, if not my number one of the year. I loved that. The match was fantastic, and the moment at the end was awesome. It was really good, and obviously AJ and Cena was one of the greatest matches of the year, if not in the last 5 years. I just thought that was incredibly good, and just. Yeah, it worked so well, and the whole card really was great. So, and there was nothing bad about it, really. So, yeah, that'd be for me.
I am gonna go wait for my pay per view of the year. I'm gonna go back down to NXT. I'm gonna say TakeOver Dallas.
That'd be a very close number two, Kai. I'm with you on that.
To me, there were some amazing matches that we've already mentioned, the likes of Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. They had the American Alpha versus Revival, that was one of the first matches that I saw of the Revival that really caught my eye and went, wow, they are really something to keep an eye on. Just really some really, really good stuff coming out of NXT this year once again. But then again, it's very rare that we sit through an NXT show and go, "Meh, it wasn't great." I don't think I've ever sat through an NXT pay-per-view and said that.
No, it's just quality all the way through that card. My God. I mean, there's nothing that can be said other than, you know, again, the debut of Shinsuke was just, honestly, just absolutely incredible and mind-blowing to see him in a WWE ring taking on Sami Zayn. I mean, that was shocking and great. I mean, and Asuka regaining the women's title as well. Well, no, she won the title, didn't she, for the first time?
Yes,
my apologies. So, you know, that was great. And obviously the Revival and American Alpha for the titles are just, it was great. And Balor defending against Samoa Joe again, that was a great match too to finish off the show. So, like, up and down the card, it was great. The only thing you could think is, well, I could think it was a bit of a low tide, was the Austin Aries and Baron Corbin, because it just didn't really work that well. but didn't really have much of an impact on the rest of the card. So, yeah.
So we've got a few more categories to get through. We'll start moving a little bit quicker to get this moving along. So, breakout star of the year. Adam, who are you going with?
There are a lot of options. So for me, the breakout star of the year has to go to the person that came in and then very quickly got to the top of the card and who got over despite everything being against him. So by the same token, I can't in good conscience give it to James Ellsworth.
I knew you were going to say that.
So I am going to go James Ellsworth, honorable mention, love the guy. I am going to say Baron Corbin.
Wow.
Okay, interesting.
It's not Apollo Crews, put it that way.
No, it's an interesting one. It depends what you class as breakout star of the year, because
Does it have to go to a wrestler? Because the list is a lot over than half the roster. But then Braun is doing really well for himself.
I've got to admit, that's one that I would go with personally, Braun Strowman. I mean, there are the likes of guys like AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura who came into WWE.
They were already stars.
Yeah, that's true. Braun Strowman, to me, is getting better and better as the weeks go on. So yeah, he'll get my breakout star of the year, and I think he'll have an even bigger 20... Well, actually, I think it'll be interesting to see where he is this time next year. I don't want to count the chickens before they hatch. Kiwi, where are you going with this one?
It's got to be Shinsuke Nakamura. No other doubt there. He's broken on to the WWE scene and he's just doing all the right things, really. They've sort of been... NXT's been really quite strange in the last 3 weeks where they've been pre-taping their rematches between Osaka, Japan and Melbourne, Australia, and then showing it like a few days later on NXT. And it's quite strange how all these rematches for the championship are not being promoted like they're a big thing. And then obviously the match results are being leaked on social media before anybody gets to see it actually on the network, for example. So it's been very odd, but that's doesn't mean that Shinsuke hasn't been compelling television for me, and he really has been ever since he debuted, and he's just been amazing. I love the character. I love the music. I've just downloaded a few days ago at the weekend my WWE 2K17 NXT extender pack, and I've downloaded Apollo Crews, Nia Jax and Shinsuke Nakamura to my PlayStation 4, and I cannot stop playing with Shinsuke Nakamura and his character on the game, because it's just, I love just being him and being able to do all of this stuff. So yeah, love it.
Well, I don't think there's a better sort of recommendation than that. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Catchphrase of the year. Adam, where are you going with for catchphrase of the year?
I'm going to go with, you just made the list.
I think that's got to be it for me as well. Or, you stupid idiot. Kiwi, where are you going?
Yeah, I've got to say, you just made the list.
All the Chris Jericho ones could be part of this, though. He's had so many this year. We've spent years complaining that the last couple of years he's sort of been resting on his laurels and getting out the Raw is Jericho sort of stuff for years and years and years. And this year he's just sort of brought so much to it. The gift of Jericho and all the different versions of that. Drink it in, man.
Drink it in.
Any other catchphrases that come to the top of either of your guys' heads?
S-A-W-F-T soft. It's always very good when it's done on Raw.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that.
Believe that. That's a thing.
I'm surprised you've not shouted delete yet.
It's not really a catchphrase though, is it? It's sort of like just a word that he shouts.
well,
like obsolete and delete. I don't think the catchphrase is as good as the overall presentation of the gimmick.
Yeah.
So I'm not really a fan of the whole delete. What else? What other catchphrases are in wrestling at the moment?
I mean, the yes chant's still kind of going because of Daniel Bryan being around, and even when he's not around. But I think if this award didn't go to Chris Jericho this year, then there'd be very, very few people that it could go to.
Yeah, it's either going to that or Follow the Buzzards.
Yeah. Let's go on anyway. Let's move on to the next category. Comeback of the Year. Who is your comeback king or queen of the year? Kiwi.
Right, for me, yes. I think it may have to be... Well, I would say Chris Jericho, but Jericho has been around for quite a little bit now. So he's been around, what was this, in 2015 for half the year.
I would class it as a comeback. Because it's a comeback to form, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. I mean, if I would probably say Jericho for my pick then, because really he has come up to form, like quite rightly say, Kai. Close behind definitely would have to be Goldberg. I mean, okay, he's only had one match and it only lasted a minute and a half. But
it was fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome, exactly. And it's so out of nowhere and nobody saw it coming. And it's just, I mean, it did its job. It got everybody talking about him. The WWE. So
up there with Goldberg for me would have to be one of my biggest markout moments from this year. And there have been a lot of them, but one of my biggest has got to be the moment that Stephanie McMahon and Vince McMahon stood in that ring talking about the... Vince McMahon Senior Award for Excellence and Outcomes, Shane McMahon.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Adam, what's your thoughts on Shane McMahon coming back, and who would you give comeback of the year to?
The Shane McMahon return was so good. The crowd went nuts. I went nuts. It was awesome. And it is definitely one of my honourable mentions.
Good choice, young man.
Then who would
the obvious choice, which I'm not going for, is the Seth Rollins return at Payback. When he just drove Roman Reigns into the canvas like the bitch he is.
Ah, it felt so good, didn't it?
He looks like RuPaul with a beard. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So true.
I am going to give it to Mickey James.
Ah.
Nice. Nice.
Nice one. I cannot disagree with that one. She made an amazing comeback at NXT TakeOver. And do you see her coming back to WWE full-time or part-time or for another one-off special?
If she's not on SmackDown by April, I'll be stunned.
Interesting. So I do see her in a match at WrestleMania, if at the very, very least. Let's move on to the next topic. And the next category is Headline of the Year. What was the biggest moment of the year? The sort of headline that you saw on the dirt sheets. Where would you go with this one, Adam?
Headline of the year for me was Alberto Del Rio getting into a real backstage fight with a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. The jokes just wrote themselves.
Have you heard that he's been arrested this week?
I have.
Austria, of all places. Heaven's sake.
I hear they're quite strict on meth there.
Just a bit.
Which is what it is. You know when he got attacked when he was meant to be doing a show at the weekend? That was a drug deal gone bad. Like, Paige looks like a skeleton in a carrier bag because of all the mess she's doing with him.
Oh,
like, I loved her. At one point, she was... I would have dragged my balls across broken glass just to talk to her this time last year. Whereas now, you can keep that.
I'd love to hear what Wayne Isabaker is thinking right now of Paige. We've not had any comments from him since all this stuff happened. Since he died. Yeah. Oh. If people don't appear on here, they just die. That's 2016 took a lot of people.
2016 got them. Yeah, yeah. The forgotten episode where we had Terry Fisher on. But no one recorded.
Oh, God. It's because we left her mother in charge of the recording. Okay, yes. So, anyway.
It's what happens. It's what happens when you're hiring George Michael as your sound guy.
I find it suspicious that one of the actors in Will and Grace decided, yeah, we're going to do a new series of Will and Grace after Deborah passed away. I mean,
They started it a while ago.
They started it last Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, did they? Oh, okay. Shut up then.
Anyway, Kiwi, do a shut up because we want to hear your headline of the year.
Well, it has to be Roman Reigns getting suspended. I loved that. I mean, that was quite funny.
I loved that.
Yeah, because it was so out of left field. I mean, look at it on paper. Now, Roman Reigns, he was in the main event of WrestleMania 32. He faced against the COO of the WWE. He's one of the biggest honchos, the heads of the company, right? So then he has broken the indoor attendance record of any WrestleMania ever. So, you know, that's all in the history books. And you know that Roman Reigns wins the match in front of over 100,000 people in Texas. And then all of a sudden, a few months later down the line, you find that he has been suspended for 30 days. And you're like, what on earth, whatever, drove him to do something to cause him to get suspended? I mean, of all people, you think, well, he's the company man. You know, he's the one who's going to keep his nose clean. He's going to be the one who's going to do as the WWE say, and he's going to do his right job properly, especially after the push of his life. And then he goes and gets himself suspended. And it's unbelievable to me. It just doesn't make any sense at all. So when I woke up one morning, turned on, looked at my phone and just see that Roman Reigns has been suspended, it's just unbelievable to me. It really was shocking.
Yeah, I've got to agree. It's one of those where it was a massive shock, as was the Brock Lesnar failing a UFC drug test, but that's technically not wrestling, or at least professional wrestling. However, my headline of the year was that WWE brought back the brand split.
But then don't you think... I mean, obviously, you're quite within your reasons, Kai.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But one thing I would say about that is in recent weeks in particular, and in all honesty, they've been like it ever since the brand split. And in all fairness, the brand split has its merits. But back in the day when the brand split was actually around, you know, 6 years ago and previously, you know, when they were full on about it, they weren't promoting each other's shows. And then on Christmas week, the Monday Night Raw was promoting heavily SmackDown and all three of their title matches that they had on there. And I find that strange to me, because when they call themselves the A show, they are the B show, but they're not 100% committed to it, I don't think. And I think that's a real shame. And that's what lets the brand split down for me to be, you know, headline of the year, at least.
What's your thoughts on that, Adam?
The brand split?
On what Kiwi was just saying.
Can you say it again? I got.
It's fine. Basically, that the
brand... I've matched on Tinder with someone. That's going on here.
It's more interesting than me rambling, Adam.
Basically, what Kiwi was saying about...
I think it's your match with.
Ooh, controversial.
Hey, Rob.
Basically, is what he was saying about the brand split was that he... I've got to bring an air of professionalism somewhere in this. He was saying that that Raw are promoting SmackDown and SmackDown are promoting Raw very heavily, and that they should be separated fully. Do you agree or disagree?
From a kayfabe point of view, like Vince just said, I'm going to kill each other. I'm going to pin her down and make a payment for that storyline we wanted to do years ago. But they said no. But from like a business point of view, it makes sense. And ultimately, that's what WWE is. It's a business. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same category as you there, Adam. But it's a fair point, Kiwi. And if people want to get in touch and argue either side, you know the drill by now, at the EU pod or EuroUppercut@gmail.com. Let's carry on with the voting for our end of year awards. And this is one that I think we'll have a couple of. There's actually some really, really good ones for this category this year, and that is Theme Song of the Year. Kiwi, theme song of the year from you.
Oh my gosh. We could pick so many. Really can pick so many. Dearie me. I could pick Finn Balor's one, though, and then again that theme's been around for a year or two now. I am this close, so close to picking Bobby Roode's glorious theme. But I would have to go for Shinsuke's, because that gives me goosebumps every single time he comes out to the ring. And to top it all off, his entrance at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2 was just epic, with all of the violinists coming out. And yeah, amazing. Sorry, Kai.
I think that Shinsuke, Bobby and AJ Styles have all got fantastic themes. I'm going to go with Bobby Roode. I'll go with Bobby Roode, glorious domination. I love it. Adam, where do you stand? All together.
Glorious. No, I won't give in.
That's where I stand, Kai Valentine.
And moving on to the next.
Never before has a theme song felt like it's been written for me than anything.
I think that sums it up brilliantly. Right, we've got a couple more categories left. We're going to speed through them now. Babyface of the Year. Adam?
Oh, wow, that's a tricky one, because there's been so many good ones.
But this,
if we're defining it as the baby face, the underdog you get behind and you cheer for, Sami Zayn has done so much good work in that feud with Kevin Owens that culminated at Battleground. But this has been a very, very weird year. And this has been the year where we've all cheered for the heel and booed the baby face.
This is why I'm loving my dissertation topic this year, and proving that there is no place for heroes in professional wrestling.
the concept of kind of babyface, it should be, oh, Roman Reigns, rah. And then heel, it should be kind of Kevin Owens. But it's in fact the other way around. There's been this weird flip of polarization in the whole face heel, hero, anti-hero, villain, anti-villain kind of demographic. And it's just so hard.
Adam, I'm putting you on the spot.
No, don't do that to me, because that's saying like really silly things. Keep your opinion to yourself, Kiwi Touch, and let me think, god damn it.
I was just being turned on by your grunting, sorry.
Where are you? That's fine for you, Kiwi. Gonna talk like John Wayne for the rest of this show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Just because I know you'll be loving it.
next one. Right, Adam, who are you going with? Maybe face of the
year. I don't know. Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, okay. Kiwi, who are you going with for baby face of the year?
For me, it would have to be Mr. Finn Balor, because that run he had just before SummerSlam and into SummerSlam.
And his thighs
and his gorgeous backside. got an awesome reaction.
With your dick.
We have a name for the show. You know, everyone else would call this, you know, the year in review show, but no, we are going with thinking with your dick. Make a note of that now. Right, thinking with your dick it is. Okay, so I'm going with Sami Zayn. Let's move on to the next one. Heel of the year, Adam.
Again, I don't know. Because Roman Reigns, if we're going on who gets booed the most, it's Roman Reigns. But that really isn't by design.
But it's great.
But I know, it's phenomenal. And then, you know, AJ Styles playing a heel, but I love him. I cheer for him. Is he a face? Is he a heel? I don't know. And then recently, Neville has been doing really good work as an actual heel, just coming out and beating up Rich Swann for no reason. That's what makes it amazing. He just came out and went, hey, and then went all medieval on his arms. I'm going to get, but, these last two categories are awful.
I'm so quoting this in my dissertation, just going all medieval on his ass. Pearson, 2016.
2017. Get 17. Rid of times. Literally get rid of times. I'm going to go Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe. Okay, I am going with The Miz.
That was my second choice.
Yeah.
Just because I buy into Samoa Joe as a heel. In the sense of I buy into Captain Hook as a man that got his hand eaten by a ticking crocodile. But I genuinely dislike The Miz.
Really?
Yeah, I just look at him and I think, I don't know you.
I would hate you.
I've not met you. But if I met you in a pub, I would have no problem just going right up to you and going, hi, Adam Pearson, fuck you. Just cold.
Kiwi, who's your heel of the year?
It would have to be The Miz. I think he's done some of the best heel work of the year. And I'm just glued to the TV whenever he's on there because really he's just been doing some fantastic work. Really has. And if you haven't seen it yet, guys, you must see Talking Smack this week.
I feel the same way about The Miz as I do about Heidi and Spencer Pratt.
He is
the cast of the hills in one man in wrestling.
I have not seen either of those two before until I watched Big Brother for the first time in about 5 years yesterday, and I could not stand those two. But as I kept telling my mum, my mum sat there the entire time going, there's too many Americans. All these fucking Yanks, get them off my TV. And I was like, get out of your shit, Mum. Get out of your shit. Maybe this is why you won't watch wrestling.
Did you suggest that maybe she should run for Prime Minister?
I told her that we're not watching Citizen Kane after we're finished.
Oh, she'd hate watching Citizen Kane.
She loves it. It's her favourite TV show.
Is it really? Wow.
Oh dear.
No, it's not. I've got her watching Taskmaster last night and she loved it, so.
Have you shown her in Practical Jokers? The American one?
No, I haven't. Okay, what are we talking about? We're talking about heels. Yeah, I don't like those two off Big Brother.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a Honky Tonk Man, I'm cool.
Let's move on. Feud of the year. Adam.
That's still going on, though.
Feud of the year. Oh, wow. Because you had Joe Balor, Joe Nakamura, Owen Zane,
Cena Styles. Charlotte Banks.
The hot potato in that title. Backwards and forwards. Ziggler. Yeah, Miz Ziggler was a good one.
Dana Owens.
Yeah. Oh, there were so many really really good feuds. I'm going to go Zayn Owens just because it ended with that amazing match.
Yeah, Zayn Owens is up there with me as an honourable mention at least. Miz and Ziggler are very, very close as well, but I've got to go with Cena Styles. Kiwi, who are you going with?
I'm with you, man. Cena Styles, definitely. Some of the best feud of the year for me, by far. Some great mic work, great in-ring product, and compelling television.
Can I give an honorable mention to the Revival and DIY?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next category, which is, I'm interested to see where this one goes. Worst Wrestler of the Year 2016.
This is so easy.
Adam.
Oh, wow. Where to begin? Oh, let me break out my list. Okay, here we go. Eva Marie. R-Truth. Flipping What's-His-Face. I'm counting to infinity twice. Chuck Norris. Ripper. Kurt Hawkins, that's his name. That's when you know you're over when I can't remember your flipping name.
Kurt Hawkins debuted,
He's wrestled a few times and lost in, 5 seconds every single time. What's her face off NXT that it took 3 goes to get a drop? Liv Morgan, or whatever her name is, she's awful. She can screw off. Eli Drake, he can swivel. Who else has been particularly awful this year? Darren Young, what the hell was that?
God, I'm loving this.
Seriously, bro? Even though he's undefeated and he's technically a wrestler, I don't care he's 1 year old. I'm saying it. King Maxwell, done.
What about, I'll try to think of other ones. Titus O'Neil, he's one that I really don't like.
He's horrible.
I just cannot say. He's just awful in the ring. And I kind of respect Batista, but with Batista turning around and going, yeah, I can see Titus O'Neil being the next big thing, I do sit there and go, fucking steroids have you been on that are going to get in your head?
Are you in character for, like Guardians of the Galaxy 2? Just being a bit dumb?
Kiwi, have you got any others to add?
Oh, Christ.
Are you going to be controversial and put Roman Reigns there?
Well, you know, if we're talking wrestling and the overall package, I don't think he's been the worst. There is, by far, he's not. But he's up there just because of his in-ring product has been great. It's been good. But his character, to me, still doesn't make much sense. And I don't like it at all. But, I mean, Titus O'Neil is certainly up there. At least Darren Young actually had a push and he had a purpose. Even though it didn't deflate to anything, it didn't matter, and it didn't amount to anything, shall I say? It didn't work. So, which is a shame, and it's just been quite very half-assed. But Titus O'Neil, I think he might have to be my worst of the year. Honestly, Eva Marie, Alexa Bliss, Peyton Royce from NXT.
Oh God!
Awful. That. I mean, they are serving a purpose with her and Billy Kay being, you know, lay cool 2.0, but that it grinds on me, especially their Australian accent.
They grate on me so much.
It's like,
I feel like I've gotten my eardrums caught in a wood chipper whenever they talk. And Brizango, why? Dear God, why? What have they done to the Vaudevillains? Why has that happened? And love him as I do, if we're talking like wrestler, James Ellsworth.
Yes. I mean, James is up there with me because he's been entertaining, but not so much entertaining. It's just been, he doesn't work for me, and then I suppose that he's not the type of person that should appeal to us as smart wrestling fans.
He looks like a bag of yogurt.
Yeah, he does.
What about, I've got one more guy to mention for worst wrestler of the year, and probably the only reason why he's not been mentioned is because we keep forgetting he's on the roster, and that is Apollo Crews.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not that he's a a bad in-ring wrestler, and I know I'll probably get a lot of hate for that. You know, he's all right in the ring, he's pretty decent, but what the fuck is he doing? They have made a huge mistake. If they'd have kept him in NXT for a little bit longer, I feel like he might have been able to work on those mic seals and maybe get a bit of a following to push him onto the main roster. But no, he's fallen flat on his face and really, really not good.
Yeah. They're trying to start something on SmackDown at the moment this week.
Time. All he's done is like rock up and smiled a bit. I mean, at least Breezango like maybe got melanoma at SummerSlam. Like Apollo Crews hasn't even done that. That was terrible. That angle, by the way, that was like almost offensive. When they like came out like that, oh my word! I'm getting really like since we started talking about this, all my blood pressure. A shot
right.
Sky high.
Let's get it. Right, we're going to do two more categories.
I haven't even started on Nia Jax yet.
We're going to get two more categories.
Oh.
Just further proof if you're related to The Rock. Any useless wrestler can become a wrestler.
Right. Two more categories. Worst match of the year. Adam.
The Asylum match, Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho. That was just 30 minutes of what the hell is this?
I didn't mind that one.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't find it either.
I quite liked it.
Yeah, but that's because you were watching it on your shitty iPad. Watch it back on your laptop, and now that you've got it, you see what I mean.
No, it's got to be... Oh, I tell you which, the one that really, really sticks out in my mind, and this shows why it was that bad, the match with the Golden Truth versus the Shining Stars, where they were doing Pokemon Go.
Oh, no, did you shut your mouth? That was hysterical.
It was not hysterical. It was shit. That was my worst match of the year. Other than that, anything with Darren Young and Titus O'Neil.
Darren Young Miz match. I don't even know how it ended. Bob Batten tried to rip his shirt off and it didn't come off. So he just looked like some kind of weird...
Bib, wasn't it?
Yeah, he looked like some weird... grown baby Teletubby thing that had escaped from the old folks home and had somehow wandered into a wrestling arena.
Kiwi, are you going with the main event of WrestleMania by any chance?
I think I'm going to have to. Only for the simple fact that it was simply fast forward TV. I just zipped all the way through it to like the last 3 minutes and I thought, yeah, it's just too much now. It's convoluted. And you can tell the whole arena inside the AT&T stadium just were not interested. And it just goes to show. I mean, they were pushing for it for months. Nobody give two shits. Excuse my language. But my God, it was just so awful. And they could have done so much better.
All right, I got one more question for you guys. Who do you think was the most underutilized wrestler of 2016, and just to add on to it as well, who do you think is going to be the breakout star? Who do you think should be utilized better going into 2017? Adam.
Underutilized star of 2016 by a considerable margin is Sami Zayn.
Oh, I thought you were going
to say that. Yeah, I was close there. I think me and Kai are in agreement here. I thought you were going to say Cesaro.
No, because he's recently they started kind of using him well, and he's always been. I don't think he's underutilized. I think he's underpushed, and I think they're two very, very different things. For the love of God, push Cesaro, like seriously, that is so insulting. The fact that they don't push Cesaro anywhere near enough.
Who do you guys think should be utilized better going into 2017?
Cesaro, Sami Zayn, and I had it a second ago. I've forgotten it. I'm still thinking about Eve Marie and getting angry.
Wyatt?
Yeah, Bray needs to be used better, but then again, we can say the same since 2013. He's been underutilized.
Never mind Bray. Luke Harper, he's the best wrestler out of the three of them.
thing is, they completely need to repackage him, I think, to use him better.
Brain just sits in the dark and goes, can you hear the wolves crying? Can you? That's because the Badger of Doom stole the honey of destiny from the wolves. I am that wolf, and I'm coming for my honey. Run.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what to say.
I think that's how we end off our awards show. Thrown together award show for 2016. A good year of wrestling, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Not yet, no. I liked it, apart from, as Kiwi said, the 30-minute WrestleMania main event that no one wanted.
Well, let's hope, fingers crossed, that come WrestleMania 33 this year, everything will be much, much better.
Roman Braun. I'm calling it now. Roman Braun.
Do you think that's going to be the main event?
Yeah, Roman Reigns will be closer to the main event than he should be.
Let's go into the final thoughts, because I want to bring up something. Final thoughts, because you've got to get off in a couple of minutes, Kiwi, have you?
Yeah. But I can stick around for a little.
Cool. Well, we'll go final thoughts, because I really want to get your thoughts on this one, and that is, did you watch on New Year's Eve the return of World of Sport Wrestling to ITV?
Yes, I did. I watched the first 15 minutes until for the title match, and that's it. But we'll get into that in a minute. But go ahead, Kai.
No. You go ahead, Kiwi. Was there a reason why you only watched the first 15 minutes? Was that out of choice, or was that out of you've got better things to do on your New Year's Eve? Because except for me, staying at home and watching the New Year's Eve with my grandma. So.
Oh, that's adorable, man.
So cool. I'm so cool.
Well, don't worry. Me and Rob had a quiet one in, but then Rob went to bed at 10:30, and then I stayed up playing WWE 2K17 until midnight, and then watched Robbie Williams for a minute and then turned it off because it was horrible. Anyways, ITV, World of Sport Wrestling. Now, I don't watch a lot of ITV productions, and that's for a reason, because I find it, the production level of ITV, to me, winds me up. And I don't know why, but I think it seems too cookie cutter, childlike, dumbing down of production. And the production that they had for the wrestling for me, for the show, just wound me up. And it wasn't nothing to do necessarily with JR's commentary or anything like that, or any of the commentary guys, or even the in-ring product, because I thought it was great. Dave Mastiff and Grado put on a lovely little match there, and it worked really well. But I wasn't interested in it anymore, and there was something really missing. And I think it's the fact that there was I could say ad breaks, but then again, there's ad breaks in all wrestling, really. But
we don't really watch them.
No, we don't really watch them. No, because we scream all the way through it. But then again, I did record it and watch it, so I could have gone through it. But it's just something for me just really lacked in it. And
here's
my thought
as to why I think you should. I'm going to try and convince you to watch on this
episode.
Yeah, go
for it, Kai.
Because I will give my thoughts. My thoughts were that I overall loved it. I watched it. I've put this on Facebook since. I watched it with my grandparents. My grandma hasn't watched wrestling since she used to go down to the town hall to go see the Royal Brothers and Big Daddy years and years ago. We're talking, God, 52 years ago that she last went. And she absolutely loved it from the start. My granddad then decided, at first he was going, no, this is that wrestling shite, it's no good. And then he starts watching it, he goes, oh, I remember this sort of style of wrestling and it being on ITV, and he really got into it and really enjoyed the storytelling of it all. And it was great to sit there with another generation of my family, and it sort of crossed generations. They had something for everyone. They had a ladder match in there, which was something that I didn't expect to see. They had the cruiserweights in there, but they also had the traditional style of match with, as you say, Grado and Dave Mastiff. But when it comes to the production values, the one thing that really pissed me off at first was that the crowd seemed really, really controlled.
Yes.
That And I think that took a lot out of the atmosphere, as we know it does in wrestling. If you start controlling the crowd, it does take away from it. However, as the show goes on, now I don't know whether this was a fact of there were people there who weren't really wrestling fans and were just getting into it, or whether it was a crowd control sort of thing, but as the show goes on, the crowd gets more lively, they get a little bit more rowdy, and it's absolutely great to see, and it does improve. Now, it was silly at times. There were silly moments in there, but it was something, it was fun. I felt it was fun to watch, and I could just imagine them putting it back on Saturday afternoons, 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock, or even 6 till 7, if they just want to do an hour, before Ninja Warrior or something, and I would happily love to see it back on mainstream television. And, like you say, it's a pilot, so it's going to be... There are going to be things that... Well, Adam will know more about this than either of us do, but... things improve from the pilot, and that's where you learn from. What's your thoughts, Adam?
Good point. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list of things to watch. Though I do, you know, pilot. That's how pilots work. You throw it out there, you make a few changes, you listen to the audience feedback, and you alter things to make things flow a bit better or feel a bit less disjointed. Though I'm excited to see it. It's
the great thing.
I missed it because I had cooler things to do on New Year's
than sitting
New
where
Year's
you
Eve and New Year's Day. Oh man, New Year's Day was rough. Really rough.
I tell you, the way
I felt on New Year's Day must be how Tiger Drew Honey feels all the time, just like every day.
Dear.
Like I drank so much, like so much. The only way I could have probably drunk more is if Kira had followed me around the whole night making innuendos and I did a shot for every single one of them.
That can be arranged.
I tell you, just to finish off on the whole World of Sport thing, the one thing that I also really loved about it was that they did it as a tournament. It started off, you start off with the World Championship match, as people have seen, which was kind of surprising to me. But they name their champion straight away. Then they end up with then they have a tournament throughout the night for a rematch for the championship at the end, with the new contender going up for the championship. And there is a really big, there was a surprise that I didn't see coming during the Royal Rumble. Well, it's a battle royal, but sort of Royal Rumble match. I'm not really sure on the rules, but I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the show, and I do, if you haven't checked it out, do check it out. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say on that. Adam, what's your final thoughts for today's show?
It's a new year, and it's a new me. I am going to try and be as positive as I can in this coming year. I know we've been talking about last year, so I've kind of been a bit down on certain people. Ah, truth. But I'm gonna try and be upbeat and positive. I'm gonna take a leaf out of our very good friend Thomas McCulloch's book from the Spanish Announce Table, also available on the Training Topics Network, and be positive and patient for as long as I can. I give it a month.
That sounds good. I've got to agree with you there, Adam. I think we can all be a lot more positive going into this year. I've just seen, before we go to Kiwi's final thoughts, I've just seen an email come through. Say it's from Mr. Fourth Row. We knew that he wouldn't let us down. He's just Aww. Said...
Let's do it. I love that guy.
Go on then. Hello all, Mr. Fourth Row chiming in for the first time this year with the rash of titles changing hands over the last few weeks. Do you think that the WWE is doing this too early, or is there a greater plan at work? Once again, that's my view, not from the cheap seats, not from the most expensive seats, but from the fourth row. Thank you, Mr. Fourth Row, for getting in touch. Kiwi, what's your thoughts?
I missed his email, sorry.
With the titles changing hands over the last few weeks, a lot of them, do you think the WWE is doing this too early, or is there a greater plan in the works?
I think there's probably a greater plan in the works. I think there's always a reason behind all of these. in particular, to sort of like drum up support and some intrigue into the various storylines. Certainly with what happened on SmackDown. And do you guys want to get spoiled? Do you mind?
Yeah, I've already seen it.
Go ahead.
I'm a proper wrestling journalist.
Good man. Well, Dean Ambrose became the Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
and beat The Miz after Maryse was shown to go backstage, basically. Miz then used the title, and then Dean kicked out of that. And then end up getting Dirty Deeds and then getting the 1-2-3. And then The Miz gets back for Talking Smack and starts going ape crazy in front of Daniel Bryan and Renee Young. So they're starting to build some more intrigue into that storyline in particular. And then also you got in the women's division with Charlotte and Bayley, with Charlotte now taking the title off Sasha weeks ago and building all of that type of stuff. So there are reasons to it, and I think that's just the way that things are going now. We've got more titles available now to sort of start the prestige up, well, boost the prestige up a little bit more on all of the rosters heading in towards the Royal Rumble, which is obviously going to be a dual pay-per-view event. So there's going to be you know, and it's going to be a big event, you know, being in the Alamo Dome, for heaven's sake. I mean, my God, what an arena. So, yeah, it's going
to
be cool.
Awesome. Adam, have you got anything else to add to that?
Nope. What was regards to Mr. Forthrow's email?
Yes.
I think a lot of it hasn't been by design. I think with the tag title change, their hand was forced a little bit because Zack Ryder got injured. The Hype Bros won that Battle Royal, and I think that was meant to be a feud to carry over until the Royal Rumble, when we start to see the sort of dissension amongst the ranks in the Wyatt trio. So I think their hands were forced on that. The hot potatoing with the women's title, I think, was done to try and legitimise Sasha Banks, but also keep Charlotte's unbeaten pay-per-view streak going. And the IC title switch is very new and has literally just happened. So I need to step back and see if there's any method to the madness there. But I think there is something behind it all. I don't think they're just shotgunning titles here, there and everywhere for the sake of shotgunning titles here, there and everywhere. And I think The Miz Ambrose could go somewhere really, really fun. Because they're both really good with the mic and with their character work. And that's the one that excites me the most out of all of them.
This could be the build-up that Dean Ambrose needs, and I'm really liking what they're doing with Renee Young getting involved as well, finally. And I think this is the right time.
It is. Her time is up. Her time is now. You can't see her. Her time is now.
And Kiwi, your final thoughts for today's show?
Honestly, I was going to pick the World of Sport and see what you guys thought about it. So I'm all good. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Well, we are coming towards the end of today's show. A show that I said we knock out in about an hour. We're currently running on the recorder at about one hour 38. So that's long. So let's get through today's show. Kiwi, where can everyone find you?
Everyone can find me on Twitter if they like at Kiwi Tuts, KiwiTuts. And it'd be lovely to hear from you. Also, if you fancy listening to some deeply cultured music from this beautiful country, well, continent near us, which sadly we've been pushed away. Oh my dear, no, sorry. It's from Europe. I host a weekly show here on the Trending Topics Network, but live on Forest FM here in the United Kingdom, in East Dorset and West Hampshire and across the New Forest. It's called the Eurovision Showcase, every Sunday at 5 p.m. but obviously you can download it as a podcast here on the Trending Topics Network. Thank you very much.
And Adam, where can everyone find yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at Adam_Pearson, Adam Pearson on Facebook, Adam Pearson videos on the old YouTube. Details of all my work and all my projects and random musings on life can be found there.
Awesome. Well, you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Kai J Valentine, my radio show Squabblebox, and Legends on Siren 107.3 FM here in the UK, in the Lincolnshire area, or on the Trending Topics Network later on iTunes. We do have one big show that's on at the minute from Legends, which was a two-hour special of Christmas number ones. So if you're still in that Christmassy spirit, there's still a couple of days before the 12 days are up, do download that and listen to some of the biggest Christmas number ones of all times. Spoiler alert, not many of them are Christmas songs, so even if you're listening late, tune in and have a listen. But hopefully the boss will be back next week. And until then, we'll see you all right back here next week. We need a better sign off.
Oh, man!
God, mother of all European uppercuts!
Yeah, I think that will work.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do, whatever.